Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone back to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. Kind of a part two of where we were with Dr. Janet Smith Warfield. Frank McKay here with the author of Dancing with Words, Dancing with Wisdom, and also the author of the book. And she's the host of that radio show, which everyone could get to and should Google Dancing with Words, Dancing with Wisdom. But the book is Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World. Frank McKay here with Dr. Janet Smith Warfield. And she bravely disclosed to all of us that she may be suffering from breast cancer. And I don't know if suffering is the right word. And I'm going to get the word should out of my vocabulary since the last thing. And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right about that. But Dr. Janet Smith Warfield, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much, Frank.
Well, you were saying, and we had to end because of time, but do you remember where we were when we last spoke?
Yeah, I've just been speaking about conversations with self. So that's one context within which you have a conversation, and that is uncensored, totally uncensored. You write whatever comes into your head. Now, what you may discover as you go through that process is that some of the things that come into your head are very scary thoughts. For example, I am totally terrified, or I want to murder that guy. But just let him go. Put him down on the paper, because it will give you information about your own energy field and your own spiritual path, and it will help you evolve into that. Now, that kind of conversation, as I say, it's very personal, no censorship. That's very different from a conversation that you might have, for example, with one other person. And in a conversation with another person, you are probably not going to say, "I hate you. Right. I wish you were dead. You stink."
Yeah, unless you're an 11-year-old girl and you didn't get taken to the mall from your mom or something like that. But for the most part, we don't say those things. We might think those things. And you're suggesting we write it down and just unfiltered write it down.
That's the personal conversation. Now, all of us are faced with these relationship challenges all the time. I think some of them are archetypal patterns, and some of them come from the kind of upbringing we had. What we have learned, what we've been exposed to, what we've been protected from, so that each one of us is kind of in this mental conceptual box of the way we think things are. But getting back to this focus on conversations with another, if you want another person's conduct to change because it is impacting you in some kind of negative way, you have a lot of choices. First of all, you don't have to stay in relationship with that person. If they aren't willing to respect, to treat you with respect, you can end the relationship. Now, that's easier said than done in some cases. If you're dealing with a spousal relationship, if you're dealing with family relationships, those are things that, from some perspectives, you don't end. They are simply there, but they can become contentious. One archetypal pattern that I personally have experienced with a great deal of pain is mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationships. And it's interesting because you tend to be the mother-in-law no, wait a minute, let me see, how can I phrase this? My perception of this is that the mother-in-law wants to continue mothering, giving advice, supporting the daughter-in-law and supporting her own grandchildren in any way she can. The daughter-in-law perceives this as a threat to her own sovereignty over her own children. And the son, husband, is right in the middle of that dynamic. It is not his fault. He wants to respect his mother and love his wife and love his daughter. But if the daughter-in-law feels threatened by the mother-in-law, she's going to put her husband in the middle, and basically she is begging, choose me first. And of course, he should, because he has made a commitment to her to be there for her and for the children that together they have brought into the world. The mother-in-law is not contesting any of that, and she does not want her son to be in the middle. So how do you move beyond this very contentious dynamic that's going on? I think that is one of many, many, many archetypal patterns. And often when women are involved, it's often because a male is in the middle, not by his own choice, but because the women are fighting over the man, or perhaps in cases two men are fighting over a single woman. So that there are a lot of these archetypal patterns going on that are really hard, challenging to deal with. One way I think of dealing with this kind of contentious relationship is to just shift into a space of listening. Or perhaps asking questions, what are you feeling? Or what would you like to see in change in my conduct? Questions like that. Now, you won't always get answers to questions like that, but you can put them out there.
But at least you're asking, and there's, you're giving a hope, and you're giving an opportunity. Dr. Janet Smith-Warfield is our very special guest, part of a continuing series, soon to be the subject of a documentary, and we'll be telling you more about that as we move on. Dr. Warfield, you've touched on so much here, and You said to me last time, you're right, I've heard this before, but you said eliminate the word should from your vocabulary. What's a substitute for should? What's a different way of saying, and you know, usually when we say should, we should do this, or should I do this? You may want to choose to do this. I mean, what's the wording that would eliminate should?
Well, let's go back behind the conduct first. Let's go back to what am I feeling? And there are a series of questions that I know came into my head a number of years ago, which I find very helpful. What do I think, which you can get to by journaling? What do I feel, which again you can get to by journaling? What do I need? You know, none of us want to admit we need anything, but the fact is we need a whole pile of stuff, and we take a lot of it for granted. For example, food and water and shelter are very basic needs that everyone has, and safety, I would add in there. This gets back to Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. There are things that each and every person on this planet needs. So it's, what do I think? What do I feel? What do I need? What are my choices? And then those first four questions kind of came to me all at once when I was really struggling through some of my own challenges. But I've added two more since, which are, what do I need to know? For example, before I know what I need to do in my own life right now, I need to know when I can have a breast biopsy and how I'm going to get myself there and what I can expect afterwards. I may have to have a mastectomy. I think that's quite likely from what I know right now, but I don't have that information yet. And it's not something that I am qualified to make a decision about because it will be medical doctors with years and years of training who will guide me in making that kind of decision. So what do I need to know? And then the final question that is vital, I think, for each and every one of us is, who can I trust? Because, for example, I would not trust a five-year-old to pilot an airplane I'm flying in.
Right.
I will probably end up being dead.
Right.
I would not trust probably a skin cancer doctor to do a mastectomy.
Right.
Because there are skills that are required to do something well, and it's a lifetime process gaining those skills. I consider myself an expert in the use of words. That doesn't mean that I know everything or that I don't have more that I can learn. So I have to, it's kind of being in beginner's mind, that's a Buddhist term, where you're always learning. And there are always new things coming into your life. If you think again of that wheel that I talked about in the last segment,
There
are always new spokes you can add to that wheel. There are always new pearls you can add to an Indra's net. They're always available, and each and every one of us, because each and every one of us is unique, each and every one of us has our own pearl to add to that Indra's net, if we allow ourselves to do that, and if we connect with a power greater than ourselves.
Listen, this is fascinating. When you talk to someone who is always there for an answer, like yourself, and again, Dr. Janet Smith-Warfield is the voice that you're hearing. Frank McKay here with Dr. Janet Smith-Warfield. And here you are in a medical situation where you don't have all the answers. You're waiting for the answers. You're ready to receive the answers. But for whatever reason, it's hurry up and wait. And sometimes, I guess, in medicine it is. And it's interesting to watch somebody who's, because your first reaction is like, well, let's question this. Let's wonder why. This is my observation of you. Like, let's try to answer why this is. You know, let's get to the why. Let's get to the bottom. Let's get to this. And you're dealing with that with your whole life, seemingly. I mean, for your enlightened life, you've been doing that, and you've gotten to the highest levels of education, and you're so well respected, not only in your book, but radio, and everything else that you're doing here. But you're an award winner and all of this, but you still are powerless to get the information that you need. You just got to wait, right? I mean, you just have to wait. And
Frank, we go back to the serenity prayer.
Yeah.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So I do what I can. You can bet that once the hospital contacts me and the doctor's office contacts me and sets up appointments, I will be there. And that has to do with being accountable. It's accountable to myself, accountability toward myself, but also accountability to the people who are assisting me and supporting me. That's where you move into the ethics and the morals, which is the right action in Buddhism.
Yeah. Right. You just mentioned something interesting. Did you say in beginner's mind? Is that the word you used? The term you used?
Yeah.
And that's a Buddhist term, you're saying?
Yes.
And so, in other words, if you're in that, in other words, like, forget that we know it all. Forget that, you know, we're an advanced being and all of that. But get into the mode where you're not going to be snobbish about new information that's coming to you. I mean, if that's the concept behind that, I happen to love that. And because so many of us say, whoa, wait a second, I'm an educated person. I got my master's. I have my doctorate. I have my law degree. And we blow off information because we think we know it all. But if you have a beginner's mind, and tell me if I'm right on the concept, because I love it.
You are. You absolutely are. And there's kind of a tension here because I was speaking earlier about a pilot, for example. Example, having years and years of training and experience to be able to cope with any situation that comes up when he is piloting an airplane. So there is a sense in which people who are educated and trained and open-minded, I will add, are people that you can trust more than you can trust people who may have learned a lot of book concepts but have never allowed themselves to struggle with the real challenges of our everyday living. They have kind of insulated themselves from taking responsibility for that. And yes, that is self-righteousness, and the Bible condemns that, certainly.
Yeah.
It's not beginner's mind.
Again, Dr. Janet Smith Warfield is our very special guest, part of a continuing series, Dancing with Words, Dancing with Wisdom is the name of her radio show. Please, a fascinating guest there. Please tune into that, and you can find that. And also Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World is her wonderful book. Buy that book, Frank McKay here. Binge listen to everything that we've been doing here with Dr. Janet Smith Warfield, and we're not done by a long, long way. She's wonderful and teaching us all on how to handle this. A beginner's mind. What do you do to get in that mode? Because I mean, we're so trained, especially when people come to us for advice, and if we're in a position where we're the boss or the CEO or the the parent. Let's say, I mean, people come to us and they come to us as experts. How do you prepare yourself to have that beginner's mind?
Probably by having been betrayed several times by people who set themselves up as experts. You get to a point where you start questioning their judgment and you realize that perhaps they don't have your best interests in heart. They only want to promote what they perceive as being best for them, which lots of times is money and fame, rather than integrity.
Yeah, right. And I think so many people get caught up in that. We see it all the time. We see we see examples of people believing their own press, so to speak, and they forget who they are, or they forget what they're supposed to be doing. How's the word supposed to be? Is that any better than should? I almost said should, and I caught myself.
Good.
I don't want to get scolded.
That's a good start. That's a very good start. You catch yourself doing conditioned ways of speaking or conditioned actions, and you start questioning, well, is there a better way of asking that question? That gets into asking the right questions to get the answers you need. And there are lots and lots of ways you can phrase a question. But beneath the phrasing of the question is the question of what is it you're trying to accomplish? What do you want to change? What do you want to be? What do you want in this relationship that you that is important to you? So you go underneath the words and the choices to your own personal intention, and you get to you can get to intentions. Again, there are a lot of tools or techniques out there. Certainly journaling would be one. Vision boards would be another. Just sit down with a pile. I think I've talked about this before on your show. So maybe I won't go into it again. And I'll just do it briefly here. You go get yourself some poster board and a pile of old magazines. You give yourself 2 hours of time or give or take some. You skim through the magazines and you cut out anything that grabs your attention. When you get a pile of these, you move them around on your poster board, get a nice collage going, whatever you want to get. And then when you have it the way you want it, you glue it down. And if you want, you can get it laminated. You put it up on the wall where you can see it every single day to remind you of the direction in which your life is pulling you, as it would be one way of expressing it.
See, that's wonderful.
Did I answer your question about how you get out of should?
I think there's a lot of information there, and the first thing you pointed out is that catch yourself, be aware of it. You know, like it was good that I caught myself saying it, and I think that's a big part of it. I mean, that's a big part of it. Awareness of a problem is the first step towards solving a problem improving yourself is being aware of something. But let me thank you again, Dr. Janet Smith-Warfield, part of a continuing series with the author of Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World, and also the host of Dancing with Words, Dancing with Wisdom. We got to get more into that as we move on next week and so forth. But Dr. Janet Smith-Warfield, thank you very much for being here.
Frank, thank you so very much for hosting this and asking really great questions.
Well, listen, you're the best. And again, I'm sure everyone listening has you in their thoughts and their prayers, their meditations. And we're hoping the next time we speak to you next week that we'll be getting good news and you'll have more answers. But good luck with everything. Lots of love.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Janet Smith-Warfield has been our very special guest. Frank McKay here, signing off. We'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.